1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. There we are. I think this thing's on. You give me a test.
Hello, 1, 2, 1, 2.
That really is a bass microphone I've given you. Right, let's just see where this takes us. So hello there, I am Andrew Cotter, and this is the brave new world of a brave new podcast, a foolish new podcast with my co-host Pepper from Salt and Pepper, 80s rap combo. So welcome to the Pepper Pod. Hello Eddie.
How are we doing, Andrew?
We're doing okay. So why? Yeah, I mean, these are strange days anyway, so we don't really know what's happening in the world, but we have decided to go for it with another golf podcast because that's what the world needs.
Yeah, whose idea was this?
I think it was probably my agent, my dog's idea. They came up to me and said, we need dog food. We need something that is going to pay, and we need you to do a podcast. Even though it doesn't pay, we're footloose and fancy-free, finance-free, so we can say what we want, which is a little bit dangerous.
Risky. Yeah, well, I've had sponsors for a few years, and I've been saying what I want on Twitter, so so far, so good. So by that measure, theoretically, this could be could be crazy. I don't know what might come out of my mouth.
Yeah, I'm concerned. Anyway, so what's happening at the moment? Because you are, well, we're all sort of at a loose end. I mean, I don't know. There's a big meeting going on today with sports broadcasters and governing bodies and the government deciding what the next step is in terms of sporting events. So we don't know what's happening. But what's happening with you? What's happening with golf?
I have no idea. I mean, I played Qatar last week. I didn't play the week before in Oman because of this coronavirus stuff. I was concerned about getting stuck away somewhere. And listen, I think from the European Tour's perspective, they've taken what I would consider to be two small risks, and this paid off with Oman and Qatar. But moving beyond this point, I think it's getting more and more risky to travel. And who knows? Some organisations seem to be taking more precautionary measures than others.
What happened in Qatar to you particularly and your scorecard?
Very strange. I mean, it's not actually that uncommon for a playing partner to mark your card incorrectly. And, you know, it happens probably once every other tournament. But I picked up on it, two of them, two mistakes, and just scrubbed the wrong hole, which is unbelievable, I know. But I've never done that before.
Who was marking your card? You didn't...
One of two Frenchmen, yeah.
Oh, well, let's just narrow it down one of two Frenchmen.
Yeah, it was the popular one, actually. So, you know, it was Lorenzo Vera, and he's a great guy, and he did apologise. But, you know, he's maybe becoming... I'm concerned he's becoming too popular. So, you know, I think it's only right in that he should get maybe some, you know, knock down a peg or two. You can't be having him as popular as me. You know, I need to be the most popular European Tour player, at least for the next... few years.
What is, I'm trying to think who the unpopular French player is now. So Mike Lorenzo Vera is popular and lovely. I don't know. My brain's gone.
No, there aren't that many unpopular French ones, are there? I suppose Victor is.
Victor, what?
An interesting ride.
Well, he's just an interesting character. Mike Lorenzo Vera. There we are. Mark Lorenzo Scora. that doesn't work at all, so we're going to leave that one. Are you the player who has been disqualified most now on the, because you had the Tin Cup incident? I don't know what the Americans would call it, disqualifyingest.
Yeah, I think I definitely am probably leading that. Not something I'm proud of. Listen, I remember I got DQ'd. I'll be straight up. I got DQ'd in Germany a couple of years ago when I didn't even check my card. I knew I'd missed the cut. I come in. My partner handed me the card. I just signed it. Didn't even look at it. Just signed it. Yeah. Walked out. I'd missed the card. I didn't care. Got DQ'd. So that counts as one.
That wasn't Mike again, was it?
Don't think so from memory. Okay. No. I think I killed whoever that was. And the next one was obviously Turkey, where, I ran out of balls.
How many balls did you have in your bag?
Enough.
Well, obviously not.
No. You would hope enough. But, run out of balls. And, of course, you know, if you read between the lines there, you'll know that there's more than just running out of balls, but I'll leave that there. And obviously this one, which is the strangest of them all, because, I didn't want to get disqualified.
Well, I know it's like, it's actually quite a serious matter. So, but three, there we are. So if you're a tour golfer who is more than three, please get in touch. You could become the disqualificationingest golfer on tour. But anyway, it's, now you've got a bit of a gap. What's your next?
About 13 months off, I think.
For all of us.
Valderrama, I think, is the next one. But, who knows? Who knows, to be honest, as we just saying. I mean, it's...
What do you do between times then? I presume you just practice and hope that, you know, you just have to get yourself in a ready situation to go.
The thing with that much time off is it's tough to, if you've got a 2 or 3 week break, you know, you can probably give yourself a week off to begin with, and then you know you only need a week or two really to prepare for a tournament. So to have 7-8 weeks off, I find it difficult to go to the range and bust a gut at the moment, unless you're trying to make a change, which I'm not. I could probably go back to school and learn some maths, but you know, it's one of those. I mean, I've been on a new diet though, so I'm just gonna, it gives me at least 2 more months to continue this is, you know, I remember talking to
the
you
keto,
in the, yeah, well, this is even more extreme,
right? So what's this new
this is
diet
called
that's
the
nonsense.
This is called the carnivore diet. So basically for the last
you
month
eat dinosaurs,
kind of, pretty much, yeah, for the last month we've only been eating animal products, yeah.
So you're going against the grain in so many ways. This is peak Eddie, in that everyone else is going vegan and you're actually going the other way, and you're only eating meat,
fish, bone broths, organ meats, anything from an animal.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Bone broth.
Delicious.
Hang on a minute, I'll just do.
Although the bone broths are absolutely brilliant. The hard part's been the organ meat, I won't lie. But you have to do it on this diet because they contain so many minerals, vitamins, this type of stuff, that if you don't, then you run the risk of being deficient, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, you do run the risk of being deficient. This sounds absolutely awful. Hang on a second, I'm going to do a voiceover for bone broths. Bone broths. Get your...
collagen. Get your collagen in.
Collagen?
Yeah, collagen. That's like the...
I understand what collagen is.
Yeah. That's like the tendons and stuff from animals. Yeah, you need that.
Yeah.
Body's been feeling fantastic, I will say, on it.
Okay. Meaty.
I have been feeling good. So.
And so what's your fighting weight and what are you?
I've lost some weight. I've lost like 4 kilos on it in like a month as well. So I'm kind of down to like...
It sounds worse and worse with every description of it.
By the time, in 2 months' time, but I reckon I'll be weighing in at 50 kilos. So, like Christian Bale in that movie, Not Batman, the one where he's...
was that what it was called?
Anorexic.
Not Batman,
the one where he's anorexic, yeah. But, yeah, no.
I don't remember that film. I'm going to have to look that up, and I will possibly drop it into the edit later on, because I'll be editing this.
Hello, Andrew's laptop here. The film that Eddie is thinking about, starring famous slightly Welsh method actor Christian Bale, is the 2004 psychological thriller The Machinist. He lost 62 pounds for the role. I don't know if the film is any good, as I haven't seen it, because I am a laptop.
But here we are. So we're talking about bone broths and carnivore diets with Eddie Pepperell, because we are starting this podcast. This is like a pilot episode. This is the pilot episode. You might have a favorite sitcom that you watch and you go back and see the pilot episode and you go, my God, that was awful. How did that ever get made? And this in future will be played to people and say, how did that ever last for its full run of 3 episodes after the pilot? You should start one though with, because it's the Pepper Pod, which we had to call it.
Might have to change that name, actually. Now I'm a carnivore. That doesn't work, does it?
You don't put pepper on the bone broth.
No, absolutely not.
Is that, well, because that's not a meat.
It's not from an animal, yeah.
It's from the pepper pig.
That's true. Oh, pepper's fine then. Yeah. In that case,
you're eating pepper pig. Yeah. Excellent. So if you're a child listening into this, welcome. You should present one with Lloyd Saltman, maybe, or something like that.
That's good, actually.
That would be Lloyd and Eddie. Right, okay. How many other touring pros have podcasts? Because Rory does his with, what's his name? Carson.
Carson, is it?
Carson Daly. Frank Carson.
Yeah.
He presents one with Frank Carson, who I think is no longer with us. So,
so
we miss you, Frank.
They do that. I've never listened to that one, actually. I've heard mixed reviews, but
I've not listened to it.
No, which is strange, because we know Rory would be good. So I'm guessing it's the yank that's the problem.
Well, you could possibly say that. I will stay on the straight and narrow and say I think everyone's super. Does Max Homer do one?
Max does one now with
somebody Simpson.
Who is Adam Sarson? Have I just made that name up?
Sarson's Vinegar.
Yeah.
Adam Sarson does sound, that is a name I recognise.
Right, I think it's him then.
Right.
I could be wrong though. God, this is really bad. Should know this stuff. I'm sure I follow these people on Twitter. I definitely follow Max.
I can't think of any. Are there any others?
No, I don't think there's any on this tour, that do it. I can think of.
So we're actually joining quite an elite group here. We're not joining an overcrowded marketplace, because there are about 13,000 golf pods out there. But
are there really?
I don't know, I made that up. But ones with an actual touring player involved, this is a rare treat.
Yeah. Treat.
But we don't have a budget, it's fine. I'm just going to end up making the stings and idents myself, and I'll just drop them into the edit later. How difficult can it be? So let's get on with the pod.
Yeah.
the Pepper Pod. Okay, so we are going to do some serious golf chat. Golf chat on this golf pod. So we're sitting here on a Monday at your gaff in Edinburgh. I'm not going to narrow it down because you'll get stalkers and many, many fans around here, but you're in Edinburgh somewhere.
Well, yeah, actually, we had a neighbour. I think we're in a very office area, so commercial area, I suppose. And one of the neighbours came to me when I was last here and said that he knew who I was, and he was a member at Muirfield and invited me for a game, which was, I didn't say to his face, definitely not, but I certainly thought about it. I couldn't think of anything worse. But
if you're listening in, glad you're enjoying this podcast.
He was a lovely guy, nothing against the man himself. It was just the idea of playing golf at Muirfield.
That's a great course, though.
Well, you've got to put up with the rest of it. We are in Edinburgh, and it's, I thankfully luckily bought a place last summer here. Love Edinburgh.
Yeah. So there was no sort of logistical reason for it, just because you like Edinburgh, you've got a place here.
Yeah, I won't lie, spare money after the Players last year, and I figured, what should I do with it? And, rather than buy a load of wine or chocolate, or another 400 dogs or bone broth, I mean, I just figured, why not buy a place in Edinburgh? So, yeah, it's great. We love it up here.
Okay, good. Mm. Excellent. And getting on with the neighbours famously, so that's tremendous. Right, okay, so Bay Hill, big tournament's just finished. Obviously, Tyrrell Hatton, the hat stand, hat man, hat... I can't think of anything else. Tyrrell Hatton, that's a big, big win, huge win.
Yeah, I mean, it's taking over, going to America winning, it's like a heist. What a return for a form, because he obviously had his wrist injury, didn't he, at the end of last year. Played Mexico, which I know is his first event back. Didn't play Honda, did he?
Yeah, because he had an operation in December, was it, I think, on the wrist. So
yeah, and you know, the wrist operations are probably, of all the operations you can have in golf, maybe other than the back injury, that's a pretty, they can go wrong. So amazing, really. I mean, quite amazing, to be fair to him. And
the scoring, though, I mean, it's a tough course at the best of times, but the conditions were brutal. So only one round in the 60s from the entire field over the whole weekend.
Amazing.
Who was?
Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, final round, 69. Wow. 60, yeah, final round, 69. So that was the only round in the 60s from the entire field over the weekend, which is just extraordinary. Yeah. So Tyrrell won by shooting 73-74 on the weekend. So, I mean, you've played there. You know how difficult it is.
Well, I played last year, and it was tough last year. I can't remember the winning score, but it was double figures. I mean, it seems to me that both tours have decided to set courses up tougher and tougher and tougher over the last year or two. And, there is definitely that movement going on. I mean, look at last week, Honda as well. I think, 5-under-1? It looked like a major. I watched that, and it was like watching a major over the weekend. And then clearly the same this week at Arnold Palmer. I mean... brutal course. I did tweet. I said, people at home do not appreciate how difficult these courses are. You know, America gets that reputation as well as having easy golf courses. It's absolutely, that's so untrue. And you see this Florida swing. I mean, it might be ironic that, you know, this coronavirus will get rid of the major season and we're just trying to get it in early with the Florida swing.
Yeah, there we are. Who knows in this scary future of ours?
I mean, I actually think the US Open at Winged Foot should go ahead as just a kind of an ironic tip of the cap to this disease, which is probably where it originated. some sort of wing involved.
Thank you.
And
a
foot.
You might be right, but I couldn't possibly comment. Anyway, I think I'm going to say that quite a lot on this pod. I couldn't possibly comment. So just to give you an idea,
the Zoonotic Open at Winged Foot. There we go.
Yeah, this is what we're bringing to the golf pod. A little bit of knowledge. So zoonotic diseases are scary. So I was told that, and this might not be true at all, because it was sort of my mother-in-law who said it, that that one dog had caught coronavirus.
In Hong Kong.
One dog. Of the whole dog population, I mean, I'm slightly more worried for my dogs than I am for me, but I think one dog out of the entire dog population of the world, then they are pretty safe. So
yeah, I think we're all right.
As long as they don't eat.
And I don't think they can pass it on, which is good as well. I read that.
We're all just saying, I read that, or I heard that, or I saw stuff. I'm sure I saw Donald Trump saying something about something.
I read that. On Breitbart or something.
Right, okay, let's not bring Breitbart into it. So the scoring, let's go back to golf. The scoring was, as I say, extraordinary. Brooks Koepka shot 81 in the third round. Somebody said, and again, this is quite often a debate when you get a really tough course, tough conditions, people say, what would a 10 handicapper shoot here? So off the tips, in those conditions, on those pins, what do you think... a decent round. I mean, the thing was, they were saying, would a 10 handicapper break 100?
But Well, they'd have to play well. Mm. I mean, they would do well just to survive the sixth hole. I think that's the par five around the water.
Yeah.
You know, unless you take it miles right, you've got to carry the ball a fair distance there. Yeah, it's one of those you can't.
But the CSS is definitely going up. It's a non-counter.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, that's CSS. What does that mean again?
The
standard scratch.
Competition scratch. I think because you're the SSS, the standard scratch score, and then the CSS.
Yeah, I remember playing Lisbon Trophy actually when that was really windy and it was a par 70. I seem to remember the standard scratch that year being something like 78 or 79. Yeah. I think I shot four over and got cut off like plus three. Yeah, which was.
What was your lowest handicap then?
About plus four. I think I was like plus three and a half or something.
Would you have been playing amateur golf with Tyrrell?
Yeah. Well, actually, Tyrrell was a couple years younger than me, and he was never really a great amateur. I mean, you think he had a hot head. You think he's got a hot head now. You should have seen him years gone by.
Really? Has he calmed down now?
He's like a Zen master now relative to what he used to be like. He's just one of these players that seems to have got better and better as he's turned pro, which is quite admirable. You know, he's kept it simple and... Yeah, that's pretty awesome. But
that's the thing. We always have this debate about good amateurs don't necessarily make good professionals. And he's actually, you know, kicked on and gone the right way. It's like, you know, Padraig Harrington was speaking about the difficulty of becoming a pro and actually making that transition to playing golf for a living is very, very different to playing as an amateur.
Yeah, I really think when I think back to amateur golf, I didn't know one player who had some kind of mental frailty. And now when I think of professionals, I can't really think of one who hasn't.
Yeah.
So I think the good thing with Tyrrell is if you can just... you know, stay on somewhere near the straight and narrow as a pro, then over 10 years you're actually going to do well because everyone else is going to have fallen into the pits of golfing hell, whereas, you know, he hasn't.
Well, I mean, you look at what he's won now, and according to Paul Azinger, you know, he's made it now. He's won on the PGA Tour, but that's a big tournament in the PGA Tour, so maybe, you know, some truth in that, because before that, we'd won in Turkey towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
He's won the Dunhill Links twice. He's won the Eurogolf Travel Classic on the Europro Tour.
And the Italian Open.
And the Italian Open.
Where was the Eurogolf Travel Classic?
I don't know. The Europro Tour. I mean, you know, was it really a classic or is that reaching a little bit? Eurogolf Travel Classic.
Honestly, that's reaching so far. It's absurd.
Follow the Eurogolf Travel. Yeah. That's the name of the tournament. Did you play the Europro Tour ever?
I played two events. I think I played in those two or three events. I think I might have survived one or two rounds. I definitely only played one round at Wensum Valley and went home because I thought this is a disgrace. You can't play golf on this course. I would argue it's tougher to win on the Europro Tour than it is the PGA Tour.
Yeah. So, yeah, Azinger, get over here and try and win the Eurogolf Travel Classic.
At Lingfield Park.
Yeah, exactly. Right, anyway, just a few other results from, a few other scores from Bay Hill, because Rory McIlroy tied, actually he won by a shot, Tyrrell, from Mark Leishman, who I can imagine him thriving in those conditions. Sungjae Im in third, who's just a great prospect, more than a prospect, he is the real deal. Bryson DeChambeau in fourth place. Rory McIlroy tied fifth, four behind Hatton. Matt Fitzpatrick after that final round 69 was ninth. Colin Morikawa also tied ninth. So Colin Morikawa now has the longest active cuts made streak, because Tommy Fleetwood, who nearly won the Honda last week, missed the cut for the first time in 48 tournaments, which is an amazing, amazing achievement in itself, but it's come to an end now.
Yeah, he might have to cut his hair as a sacrifice. I think he should have that going.
He should do something. He should mark the occasion. Or he'll just go straight to the Players, where he's done well in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But that cut streak goes back to the 2018 French Open, so it's extraordinary.
That is pretty amazing.
He's only played twice since then. But
yeah. To be fair to Colin Morikawa, it's equally incredible, because I don't think he's missed a cut since turning pro.
Yeah, well, you think of Justin Rose, you know, turning pro, missing his first 22, I think it was. And then so Colin Morikawa turns pro, makes his first 20 cuts.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously with Justin, he's now the owner of a gold medal as well. So if you're a Colin Morikawa, then you've got lots to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's pretty extraordinary. I think that's a great achievement. I think I heard the commentator say that Nick Doherty, I think, said that there's still a long way to go to catch Tiger's record, which was into the hundreds.
It was 142 or 145, which is just...
ridiculous.
And that only ended at Wink.
I'm going to have to step in here again because both of these two get slightly confused here. Justin Rose missed 21 cuts in a row and Tiger Woods made the cut at 142 consecutive tournaments.
listeners will be involved in this edit point. Right, so it's an extraordinary record that Tiger had, that Tommy Fleetwood 48, Colin Morikawa was now on 20. Colin, that leads us neatly to, because I was thinking of how many golfers there were called Colin, and obviously I can only think of two. Oh no, Colin Dalglish was a very good Scottish amateur before your time, but
Colin Dalglish was the Walker Cup.
Well, of course he went on to become Walker Cup captain.
He was. I never played the Walker Cup, but he was the captain of the St Andrews Trophy team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely man.
Colin Dalglish. So Colin Dalglish, Colin Morikawa, and Colin Montgomery. I can't think of any others. There will be some. My brother Colin, who's a good player.
Colin Pavin.
Colin, yes, Colin Ballesteros. So this is a slight bit of trivia. We used to have a bit of trivia on a podcast which once existed. With dear old Ian Carter, but I was going to bring in a bit of trivia, a bit of a game on that podcast when it came back, and it never came back, so I'm going to bring it into this podcast here. It's a game I like to call There Aren't Many Golfers Called Alan. It's a snappy title, but I couldn't think of any golfers past or present called Alan apart from, well, I'm talking pro golfers, because I have a friend called Alan Reid who's a very good player, and then
well, one has actually just come to my mind, and he coaches Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh, Alan Thompson.
Now, I'm not sure if he played on tour, but he was a good player.
Okay, well, there was Alan Thompson, who was a very good amateur from Ayr Belle Isle as well, back in my day as well, won the Scottish Amateur, I think, and Alan Reid. So, but I'm reaching there. So anyway, this game is still, I don't care what you're coming up with now, this game is still going to be called There Aren't Many Golfers Called Alan. And what we'll do is we'll go through various names in the alphabet, and you've got to try and come up with as many golfers, past or present, with those names as possible. For example, today we'll just do it as an example to think of as many golfers as you can with the name Edward or Eddie, or I'll do that, and you can think of as many golfers called Andrew or Andy as you can. And the listeners at home, if there are any out there at all by this point of the bone broth discussion, then they can join in and try and think of as many, and we'll decide what's a good total to get for each week. So can you think of many Andrews or Andys? I mean, I can think of a couple off the top of my head.
I was just thinking, picturing the relief that Ian Carter must be feeling right now. Andy or Andrews? Ooh, I'm struggling already.
I'll give you a clue. First name, Andrew. No, I'll give you a clue.
Andrew Putnam.
Andrew Putnam. Good. There you go. One. Ding. I'll make the noise there. So I think a good score for this would be...
He's a snooker player.
No, but Andrew Putnam's...
No, ding.
All right, ding. Yeah, sorry there. Well, we'll do that next week. There aren't many players called ding. right, so Andrew Putnam's one. Andrew Dot, I'll give you another one. Yeah. Maybe we should be back and forth. There we go. Right, you try and...
It's like tennis.
Or I win the point. Past or present. Andy's.
Andrew Johnston, beef.
Andrew Johnston, beef, good. Andy Sullivan, right back at you.
God.
I can think of a much older
Andy
vintage.
Andy North,
okay, oh, good. I hadn't actually thought of Andy North, twice a US Open champion. Double hit from TC Chen, 1984, wing foot. Andy Bean, from the same era. There we are, so I think that's...
Was he brother of Jim Bean at all?
He was brother of Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean, yes. Oh, wow, what a family.
I can't think of any more. I can actually. I've thought of one.
I'm struggling now. And in the interest of the podcast, you're going to have to...
Well, there's one called Andrew Raitt.
Andrew Raitt.
R-A-I-T-T. There was Andrew Raitt. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that's right. Raitt. I'm sure that's Raitt. Okay, so there we go. I win that point. Mm. Edward, Eddie, go. Let's keep it punchy.
Well, it's obviously the one and only.
you're not going to say it yourself on that. That does count. You can have that.
Yeah.
Okay, Eddie Pepperell. Ah, heard of him. Ed Sneed.
Ed Sneed.
Again, I'm going back. This is for all the younger.
I feel like
listeners,
your age is going to help you here.
I might just look in the world rankings and just.
There can't be many Ed and Eddies about, is there? There really aren't. Thankfully,
I should have let you prepare on this a little bit better.
Yeah, you've really thrown me in at the deep end. Here.
Okay, well, let's carry on with things, and you can have a little think about things, and I'll just take you through the Qatar results, because Qatar, in Eddie's absence, was an interesting tournament because it went to a five-hole playoff. Jorge Campillo of Spain won, beating David Drysdale. Little David Drysdale, fifth hole of a playoff. This was at Education City Golf Club. The beautiful name. I think all the beautifully named golf courses in the world, Cypress Point and Pine Valley and Education City.
How ironic. I just remembered, not names, but that Thursday morning, the day I got disqualified for not being able to add up, my Uber driver, well, actually taxi driver, he didn't know where the course was, and he dropped me off at the school.
Right.
Instead of the golf club. And right. I would have been wise to get out there at 5 a.m. and just pop to the...
The arithmetic class.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, carry
Education
on.
City. Education City is not one of them,
by the way.
But so anyway, listen, Jorge Campillo had led by two shots with two to play, but then double bogeyed the 17th. So in the playoff, five-hole playoff, they were playing the 18th over and over again, par four. I mean, they both Campillo birdied it three times in the five holes. They both birdied it the first two times, and then eventually the light was fading, got to a fifth time, Campillo birdied, and Drysdale. Then poor old Drysdale, he's been on tour for a long, long time, in just about 20 years on the European Tour, a few seasons on the Challenge Tour as well, but he was looking for his first European Tour win and didn't quite come. But a good performance from him. Jorge Campillo winning. There we are. Have you thought of any more Eds? No.
No, I
don't know. Some they'll come to me after this, but basically I've won both points on that. But we'll do some other names next week, if there is a next week. I mean, there will be a next week. I'm not saying the world's going to end, but...
Would Eldrick be...
No, in no way. No, no. Okay. Not even close to it.
There's got to be a few more
thing
out
is,
there.
I can edit this here, and we can all go and look at it and come back with lots of heads. So I'm just going to say, right, that's a head scratcher. Hang on a second, I think I've thought of a couple.
Do you hate vegetables? Are you trying a weird diet? Well, you'll love our bone broth. You've tried the rest, now try the best. Wilkins bone broth, now with extra collagen. It really is hideous.
Ed, I can't think of it. What about go on.
I just remembered, I don't know how I forgot this one through. There's a big, tall American dude, I think he's left-handed, called Edward Law.
Is there?
Yeah.
How do you spell his surname?
L-O-A-R. Like, it's pronounced like raw, but...
Well, it's not. It's pronounced that way if you're... I would pronounce it Lore. Edward Lore. Anyway, he is an Edward. I don't know.
And what else do you know I can think of, although...
Ed Fiore. Did I mention Ed Fiore?
You might have done.
I probably did already.
I have a feeling that I've come across a player once called Eddie Olsen.
Olsen.
I also think he's American as well.
Okay. Edward Woodward, the equaliser. He played golf in his spare time.
Did he?
I don't think so. But the Wicker Man.
Eddie Olsen. Eddie, I seem to remember that name featuring once. And okay. I don't watch much golf, admittedly.
That sounds like someone putting a phone down on a table there.
No. I think there's also a good Australian player, or I say good, I don't know how good he is. Ed Steadman.
You know what? I think you know exactly how good he is, because I think you could probably tell me his world ranking.
2087.
Yeah. So, well done, come out with them. Fantastic. That's great knowledge. Eddie Lejeune, who's the great Belgian motocross rider on Kickstart, the programme of the 1980s, presented by Peter Purvis. Right, so we haven't got many Eddies, so that's quite good. You're not quite unique, but you're certainly one in just a few. Right, let's look ahead to this week's tournaments then, because... it's one of the big ones, never a major, not a major, but the Players' Championship is huge. And actually, to be serious for a moment, it must be, you know, tricky, annoying, difficult for you because, you know, things went so well last year that... Were you third? Were you third last year?
I was third last year, yeah.
Okay, I don't want to bring it up, but it's just an idea of how quickly, you know, things can rise and fall in golf. I'm sure you'll be, you know, back up there. You're not far from the rankings that would get you in there at the moment, but would you watch golf if you weren't playing?
Yeah, I would watch the majors. Yeah. I mean, the Masters, the Open, the Ryder Cup, the Players. Although...
Don't say the Players and the Majors.
The Majors plus the Players, that's what I meant. You know, it's a great one to watch. And I must say, of all the tournaments I played last year, and I'm not just saying this because I played well in it, but it was, without a shadow of a doubt, my favourite tournament of the year. I thought it was quite a bit better than Augusta.
It's well run, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. And the golf course is... I can't explain to you. It's one of the best courses I've ever played, made for exactly what it's, you know, advertised as, which is... What, the greatest show in golf, something like that? I don't know.
Just what they build it now.
I got that. Stadium yeah. Golf. That's exactly what it is. The finish is remarkable. So
in ranking the tournament's enjoyment of playing, you would go, the Players would be right up there alongside the Your Golf Travel Classic.
That's 2087, that one, like Ed Steadman, that one.
Which is your favourite tournament to play in?
The Players, honestly, the Players and Wentworth. I really think, because what they don't have is all the shit that you get with majors. Now, the beauty with Augusta is you don't get all the crazy kind of noise that you get at the US Open and the USPGA. Now, to me, the US Open and the USPGA are two of the least enjoyable tournaments you can play, because it's like being in a traffic jam. It's just the most stressful experience for a week.
What, because of the noise? And
all the noise, all the people, all the stuff that goes around.
So you can't shut that out?
Well, it's hard to. I mean, but you can, but it's hard to. It's just a lot of noise, a lot of stress. At least with Augusta and the Open, you get there's a degree of quiet, there's a degree of peacefulness at times, and especially when you're out as early as I am. at the weekends at those events. Very quiet. So, you know, they are, the Augusta and the Open were, out of all the four majors, by far the most enjoyable. But I would honestly put the Players and even Wentworth ahead of both of those. Although I will say the Open at Portrush last year was special.
Come on, you must have enjoyed Carnoustie.
Well, I did. Socking it but, to Big I mean, Phil. It wasn't... Oh, that's true. I've got about my day with Big Phil. That was a... Yeah, that was an enjoyable experience, actually. I felt like I caught him just at the... just at his takeoff, just as he was about to prepare for launch into his journey of madness, I feel like I kind of was there to help him. I could have been what started it, actually. I was probably that little bit of...
You just started his descent into madness.
Yeah, exactly. He was fueled up and I just shut the gauge and sent him off.
That's interesting, though, that you don't... So, because the events, they're almost too big and there's too much and the crowd is... It just becomes a little bit...
There's a lot of stuff around the event, around the week. It's difficult to just turn up, play golf... and enjoy playing golf, you know, from everything from registration, traffic, car, you know, so much that goes into those tournaments, a lot of noise that you have to be very good at putting that aside.
Well, we'll look forward to the Players' Championship then, which is one of Eddie's favourites. Tiger's out, back, not quite ready yet. So, but we never know quite what to make of Tiger and his back injury now, because we've written him off so many times before that he's got to pick and choose the tournaments he plays in now and just target. I mean, I'm sure all he cares about is adding to the major tally.
Yeah, that's probably true. Although, you know, I think something must be wrong for him to miss this one. You know, this is, and same with Arnold Palmer. I mean, something must be wrong.
Yeah.
I actually wonder if him and the Pope have got coronavirus, because neither of them have been seen. And, you know, obviously it's rife in Italy and the Pope kisses more people than you can possibly imagine.
Not anymore. He's doing his address. His
Yeah, but this thing's been around for a while. Now, Tiger is clearly a much healthier man. I'm just putting out there the pair of them might have coronavirus. Okay. And
now, one of your dogs has just come in. This is Pip. Pip has come in because Pip is our lawyer on this podcast. And our podcast lawyer, has just rested her head on my thigh and is looking up at me with lawyerly eyes saying, that probably won't get into the podcast. So I'm not sure, but I'll have to consult with Pip later on.
That's
about.
That's got to be fine. That's just speculation.
Sure, it is speculation. Yeah, it is. We can. I'd like to clarify that it is only speculation.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of either Tiger Woods or the Pope, and he has a lot of fans, then...
Oh, and I mean, I think that... Okay, if I need to put a disclaimer in before every podcast to say there's going to be a lot of speculative...
Rumour mongering.
Yeah, going on then. I will put that in there. I should have said that earlier.
I think people will take it as read that the Pepper Pod might have a little bit of that in it. So anyway, the Players' Championship is this week. Our lawyer is just having a drink, if you can hear that. Thirsty work for our lawyer, just really scratching her brain at the moment, thinking if that's okay to go in. Anyway, so the Players' Championship... and then you've got the Valspar, WGC Match Play, Dominican Republic, Texas Open, and giving the lead up to the Masters. But again, we don't know what's going to happen. On the European Tour, there's no magical Kenya Open this week. But the Indian Open is going ahead. But then apart from the WGC, no Euro Tour event until the Masters, and nothing after the Masters until the end of April now, because China and Malaysia, they have gone. I mean, not the countries, they're still there, but the tournaments have gone. And then you've got the Andalusia Masters. So that'll be when, you know, you're probably next involved. But it's just fascinating times at the moment.
Yeah, nobody knows. Nobody knows.
And I was thinking about the caddies as well, because they were putting it out there that, you know, you've got no security. We've got very little security in that job anyway. But you think, you plan that you might have a stretch of tournaments over 2 months, and a lot of them are going by the wayside. So it is, again, seriously, very, very difficult for people whose careers depend on it all, if you're a sort of freelance contractor.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, you've got to be... Hey, I mean, I'm pretty fortunate in the position I'm in, but I know that a lot of people aren't, caddies included. But, you know, this the pub intake will be good, I'm sure, back home with all the time off. And
is that a mass gathering? That might not even be allowed.
That's true. Well,
then, who knows?
They'll be just fine, I'm sure. They're a hardy bunch, aren't they?
We will see. Again, a lot of it will become clearer today as we record this on Monday. There's a meeting between the governing bodies and sports and the government and broadcasters, and a lot of decisions are going to be taken today, but we will see how things develop over the next few days and weeks. But interestingly, out of all this nonsense is born this silly podcast, which we will hope to continue for the whole of the season. The Pepper Pod is with us, and we'll be chatting all things golf throughout the season.
It looks like it that this moment.
Yeah, it does. At this moment, that is all we can offer, basically, because we're living in the moment and not worrying about the future and what it might hold. But we'll be back with the Pepper Pod. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.